Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer günstig und natürlich mit dem Aldi-Tiefpreisversprechen. Zum Beispiel knackiges Gemüse, saftiges Obst, frische Backwaren. Kurz gesagt, mehr Frische für alle. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote zum Tiefpreis in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel.
Today's question is, can I analyze the case of Lois Reese? Lois Reese was born in Rochester, Minnesota on February 28, 1962. She was the fourth of five children. Her father worked for IBM as an engineer. Her mother was described as having hoarding behavior. Lois was embarrassed by her mother's hoarding behavior and did not invite friends to the house. Lois dropped out of high school after completing her junior year. She married a man named Dave Reese on September 7, 1982. She was 20 years old, Dave was 19, and serving in the Navy. Lois and Dave had two boys and one girl over the next 4 years. When Dave was finished serving his time in the Navy, the family moved to Rochester, Minnesota. He found a job at a metal equipment manufacturer driving a forklift. He eventually left that job and started his own business, a retail shop that sold live bait and fishing tackle. Lois ran a daycare out of the family home. In 2005, the family purchased a house in Blooming Prairie, Minnesota, and opened a wax worm farm. Evidently, this was Dave's dream. This wax worm farm took me on about a half-hour research tangent. I was curious about this topic. A wax worm is a caterpillar larva of the wax moth. Wax worms are commonly used as fishing bait and to feed lizards, turtles, and birds. Wax worms also eat plastic. Some believe they could help reduce plastic pollution. Even though I'm sure these worms are very pro-social and environmentally responsible, I couldn't help but think that a wax worm farm would be a good foundation for a horror movie, like a bunch of wax worms break away from a farm and eradicate plastic from the world. The moral of the movie would be how society has become dependent on plastic. In the beginning of the movie, I picture an out-of-breath farm worker running to his colleagues. He tells them that the wax worms have escaped, like maybe he left the gate open or something. His coworkers are like, well, call the police. He responds, I would, but the wax worms ate my phone. It was mostly plastic. Now moving back to the background from that tangent. On February 16, 2006, a fire broke out in the Reese family house. Lois and Dave lost everything in the fire, although no human beings were injured. Dave believed that he caused the fire by attempting to do his own electrical work in the house. The community donated money, which helped the family to rebuild their house. Lois opened up a daycare business there, just as she had done before she moved to Blooming Prairie. Lois appeared to be happy. She had a number of grandchildren who would play on the farm. She was active in a bowling league. She sometimes cooked for the farm employees. Lois closed the daycare in 2014, and occasionally worked on the farm. Business was booming. They sold the wax worms to retail stores all over Minnesota, as well as several other states. Even though everything seemed to be going well from an outside point of view, Lois was dealing with a gambling problem. She had cheated a few people out of money in order to maintain this habit. She received a $500,000 inheritance from her father and gambled all of it away. Lois applied to be the legal guardian of her older sister, Kim. She said that Kim had bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, and obsessive compulsive disorder. Lois claimed that her sister would go on shopping sprees and spend large quantities of money. In reality, Lois was the one who was irresponsible. She gambled away her sister's money. In October of 2015, the guardianship was suspended and would later be canceled completely. In December, Lois tried to bring an end to her own life by using pills. She was unsuccessful. In July of 2016, she disappeared for 3 days and incurred new debts. In December of 2016, a judge ordered Lois to repay about $100,000 to her sister Kim. Prosecutors decided not to press charges. Dave cut her off financially. He did not trust her with money at all. Dave once told another person, "If I ever go missing, you come looking for Lois." Now moving to the timeline of the crimes. On March 11, 2018, Lois shot her husband Dave two times with a .22 caliber handgun. He was shot once in the chest and once in the back. One bullet traveled through his arm as if he was trying to defend himself. Lois left his body in the bathroom after covering it with a blanket. On March 12, Lois visited the office of the Wax Worm Farm and told them that Dave was not feeling well. She needed to take care of him. In reality, she had already taken care of him. At one point, Lois deposited business checks into her husband's personal checking account and cashed three checks drawn on that account, totaling $11,000. Employees noticed that Dave didn't show up for work even after a few days. This was uncharacteristic of Dave, but they didn't want to bother him if he really wasn't feeling well. Lois just kept saying the same thing about how he was sick. Later, Lois said that he was cleared by a physician to go to a fishing competition on March 20. The employees just assumed that Dave did that, but then they noticed that Lois drove away in Dave's white Cadillac Escalade on March 22. That was the same vehicle he used to tow his 20-foot boat to fishing tournaments. They grew concerned and called the police on March 23. When the police arrived, they found Dave's body in the house. Lois became a person of interest. She was the only one. After leaving the area on March 22, Lois had driven the Cadillac Escalade to a casino in Iowa that was about 45 minutes away. It was a place she knew well. After gambling for a while, Lois left and eventually made her way to Florida. She was spotted in Fort Myers Beach on April 2 at 1:45 p.m. The police were called, but Lois was not there when they arrived. They figured that she had left the area completely, but they were incorrect. On April 3, a 59-year-old woman named Pamela Hutchinson arrived in Fort Myers Beach. She checked into room 404 at the Marina Village at Snug Harbor. This was a timeshare resort. Pamela was there to visit a friend, but she also met Lois Reese and spent some time with her. The two did not know each other before this. It is believed that Lois targeted Pamela because the two looked alike, like Lois wanted to steal her identity. Nobody heard from Pamela after 7 p.m. on April 5. While both women were in Pamela's timeshare condominium, Lois retrieved her .22 caliber pistol. As Pamela was standing in the bathroom, Lois fired a round through the pillow, striking and killing Pamela. She covered her body with a towel. On April 6, Lois called the front desk and booked a room for three more days, using one of Pamela's credit cards. She then traveled to a local bank and withdrew $5,000 from Pamela's account.
Hey, hast du heute Nacht gut geschlafen? Und deine Haut auch? Stell dir vor, du erlebst den HK-Effekt. Deine Wäsche riecht einfach frisch, ganz ohne chemische Duftwolke. Und deine Haut atmet auf. Beim Putzen musst du nicht husten, sondern kannst einfach durchatmen. Das ist der Moment, in dem du spürst, sauber geht auch anders. Mit HK. Unbedenklich, hautfreundlich und dennoch wirksam. Probiere den HK-Effekt für Sauberkeit, die sich gut anfühlt. Jetzt entdecken auf hk.com.
Lois drove Pamela's 2005 Acura TL to a hotel about 3.5 hours away in Ocala, Florida, and stayed there until the next day, April 7. Using Pamela's credit card, she ordered room service twice, as well as a movie. After leaving the hotel at 10:30 a.m., Lois made three more withdrawals using Pamela's card. She drove to a casino in Louisiana. After winning $1,500 on a slot machine, she collected her winnings using her own driver's license and credit card. On April 9, 2018, the police were called to Pamela's room after staff at the Marina Village found her dead body in the bathroom. Her purse was found in the kitchen. It looked like somebody had rummaged through it. The police noticed that her car and car keys were missing. They tracked the usage of Pamela's credit cards, which led them to video surveillance featuring Lois Reese. One camera had captured Lois at 8:34 p.m. next to the condominium elevator, looking distraught for 13 minutes. Lois then returned to Pamela's room. Another camera captured Lois loading items from her husband's Escalade into Pamela's Acura. The police started desperately searching for Lois. They were particularly concerned because she did not look dangerous and could easily gain people's trust to facilitate another homicide. Lois drove the Acura to South Padre Island, Texas, which is not far from the Mexican border. She checked into a Motel 6 using the name Donna instead of Lois. She actively socialized in the area, spending time at restaurants and bars. On April 19, Lois visited a seafood restaurant. The manager recognized her from television and called the police. The police found her at a restaurant right next door. She was arrested without incident. They recovered a good deal of evidence connecting her to the murder of Pamela Hutchinson, including Pamela's credit cards and checkbook. They also found a Colt Woodsman 22 caliber pistol and a Smith & Wesson 9mm. Lois was charged with murder. She would eventually plead guilty in Florida for the murder of Pamela. She was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole, along with concurrent sentences of 60 months for grand theft and 180 months for the criminal use of identification. Lois was extradited to Minnesota and pleaded guilty to the murder of her husband. She said that she had been arguing with Dave. He handed her a loaded pistol and invited her to harm herself, saying, "Maybe you'll get it right this time." She took the pistol and shot him twice. I don't think that's what he meant by getting it right. Lois was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. She will serve her sentence in Minnesota, where she can be close to her family. Now moving to my analysis. A limited amount of information has been released regarding the mental health status of Lois Reese. It was reported that she took medication for a mental disorder. The authorities in Texas indicated that Lois had psychosis and refused to take medications when she was there. It is also reasonable to suspect that Lois had some type of problem with gambling. Lois had a history of mental health problems in her family. Her mother and two of her sisters had mental disorders. One of her sisters ran somebody over using a Ford Explorer. Later, she brought an end to her own life. When Lois was sentenced in Minnesota, she told Dave's family, "I didn't know how much pain I was in until I wasn't anymore." She did not specify what kind of pain she had. What happened in this case? Why did Lois Reese kill two people? There are three main theories that come up in this case. I will review each one of them here. Theory number one is that Lois had a gambling addiction. She kept gambling despite severe consequences. Dave had recently cut her off financially, and she killed him to access more money for gambling. This theory is supported by the fact that Lois gambled right after she killed Dave and right after she killed Pamela. Theory number two is that Lois had a disorder like schizophrenia or bipolar disorder, which greatly contributed to the crime. She was psychotic. She lost touch with reality. If it was bipolar disorder, she may have been manic, which would explain a lot of her impulsive, reckless, goal-directed, and excitement-seeking behavior. This theory is supported by the report that she was psychotic, that report from Texas, but it is contradicted by a number of other items. Lois appeared to be highly functional and acted with a clear purpose. She was described as friendly and likable. She was socializing when she was in Florida and in Texas. She told people she was a recent widow who just came into some money. People who encountered her did not describe her behavior in any manner consistent with psychosis. Theory number three is that Lois may have had one or more mental disorders, but that did not play a major role in her crimes. She decided to kill her husband to get away from her life in Minnesota and killed Pamela in order to continue funding her new lifestyle. Lois had tried many things in her life, gambling away hundreds of thousands of dollars, a daycare business, a wax worm farm, and now it was time for the aspiring serial killer phase, although now she has shifted her efforts to the life in prison phase. When considering the evidence, what theory do I think best explains her behavior? I think the theory number three is the most probable. For many years, Lois had her share of problems, but overall, she was functional. I think she killed David in the heat of the moment, perhaps because they were arguing about her bad behavior. After killing him, Lois figured that she might as well do what she wanted. She gave in to her self-centeredness and greed. Her pain was so great that she didn't care who she hurt. Her plan was to stay on the run as long as she could. She wanted to enjoy this newfound freedom. It didn't matter if she had to kill more people to do it. Another potential explanation would be that killing Dave set off a psychotic episode. Murder is a very stressful activity, even for the perpetrator. This is putting theory number three together with theory number two. Lois killed Dave in the heat of the moment, but when she killed Pamela, Lois was psychotic. The stress of one homicide unlocked the capability to commit another. Now moving to the lesson learned. I think the lesson learned in this case is how certain mental disorders need to be treated. Most mental disorders cause suffering, but don't make the person who has the disorder dangerous to others. Some disorders, however, like those involving psychosis, can present a risk. The strategy of ignoring the disorder and hoping things will work out is not prudent.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.